joined by Heather Goodall, the Union Campaign Manager for Amazon Labor Union at the Skodak New York Warehouse. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have talked to you just a week ago, and so much has happened in the last week. I understand there's been an issue with some propaganda. Can you tell us more about that?
Oh, the propaganda has been very thick lately. So first and foremost, when I arrived within the last week, Amazon called the Skodak New York police on me after they came out and asked me to leave. And I told them I wasn't leaving. It was my right to be there. And after they walked away, they ended up calling the police. And I want to send a shout out to Skodak New York police officers. They were fantastic in their response. As we learned when we got 75,000 views and 2,000 likes on Twitter. So as a result, after their arrival, we all know that I had the right to be there. And we ended up filing a charge against Amazon with the NLRB. And I do have an affidavit on Tuesday. So we did file that charge. It was a violation of my rights. And Skodak response was fantastic. So I appreciate that support from them. Now, the other propaganda that they have implemented is they're doing what they're calling training. And they're having these meetings of approximately 15 employees. They are mandatory meetings. And if we have time, I'll just read you two excerpts from one of the slides in those meetings so that you can understand. So this says an authorization card is a legally enforceable document which will be provided to the government. The card becomes property of the union and they can contact you while you're at home off of work. This can include people who may not even work for Amazon showing up at your home. And this group may share your information with third parties or even use your name to request that other associates sign cards. It also is telling people that this is a business, which we all know is not true. A labor union is not a business. So clearly, if Amazon has implemented calling the authorities, even though it's our right to be there, and they are providing clearly false information, it's sending a message of desperation that's even shameless for Amazon.
But this is the standard playbook of the kind of corporate resistance that unionizers can expect. These messages about it's a business, all these false claims about what signing a card does or doesn't mean. The video of the encounter with the police officers, which I watched, and I can put a link to it in the blurb with this interview, the police officers couldn't have been more professional, couldn't have been more responsive.
I expected low down dirty tactics and I came prepared.
So I understand you guys had an event on July 27th, Wednesday. Can you tell us about that?
Yep. We just wanted to memorialize the employee that was that had died on July 13th. While at work, a gentleman named Raphael was loading a truck. He had heart palpitations and he did report that he wasn't feeling well. And 20 minutes after he returned to his position loading the truck, he died inside the truck. And from what I understand, it took them an hour to get AMS to respond, but he did die inside the warehouse of a massive heart attack.
So let me ask you this. That is so sad. And I want to send my condolences to his family, his friends, and all the co-workers and friends at the warehouse for his loss. It's all the sadder to have that loss be on the job. You said that he complained of not feeling well. Is there a clinic at the warehouse or someone that he can go to report not feeling well? What are the resources there?
So very similar, ironically, to my situation on July 2nd, they do have what's called Amazon Care. So if somebody is injured, or like in my case, my blood pressure was extremely high. I was same thing, short of breath. They checked my blood pressure and we waited for it to come down. So at that point, they did call EMS for me. Now, why they sent him back to work, I don't know. But I have found that this is something common within the Amazon care that we refer to. In my case, I do see a cardiologist and I am on medication. So maybe that alerted them to call EMS, and they're not doing it across the board for everybody. There's a lot of injuries that are sustained in the warehouse and oftentimes go undiagnosed at AmCare.
Let me ask you this. What is the level of the person staffing AmCare? Is it a registered nurse? Is it a physician's assistant? Is it just somebody who read a couple websites?
That is a conversation I had, because one of the things that they were diagnosing are sprains. And I was concerned with that, because even with a sprain, there could be a tear. You do need sometimes an MRI, and that should be up to a physician. So I did ask what their position was. And the answer I received was they are paramedics. So some of them are paramedics that are off duty. And as I pointed out, if you're an off-duty paramedic and you arrive, you know, or you see somebody injured, do you diagnose them and send them off, or do you treat the injury and send them to the hospital? I don't remember an occasion where EMS had arrived for myself or a family member or friend and they were diagnosed and kind of went on their way. So that is a concern of mine.
So it's a paramedic, and your colleague who died was checked out by the paramedic and sent back to work and ended up suffering a massive heart attack. Is that right?
Yes. And by the way, that's exactly what happened with the two employees in Illinois last year. Both of them, I believe it was within hours of each other, but I'd have to double check that. But I am aware that in Illinois, it was a very, very similar circumstance where two employees expressed the same symptoms and both of them died.
Given the number of accidents that people incur, especially at the warehouse, you've said there's been
over 100. That it was about 150, but conservatively at least 100.
Over what period of time?
18 months.
18 months. So how many people were able to attend the memorial?
I would say it was a small number. It was approximately 10 on the property, and then we had people from the community. So I would say a total of about 25. And the tragedy in that is when I arrived, they knew that I was coming and they knew what we were arranging to do. And they had closed off a portion of the parking lot. They also had somebody there with a camera that is a violation of the NLRA. We have the ability to organize to meet without surveillance, but rather they did have a camera. They also had approximately 10 ops managers and ops safety and loss prevention in front of the building, which was extremely intimidating for employees. And then when we had a moment of silence for Raphael, the most frustrating part for me, because, you know, this was for his family too, to let them know that this death is not going to be silenced. And, you know, he did go for help. He didn't get help. And those operations managers did not even participate in a moment of silence for that man. So at that point, I just went into, you know, it just gave me a little bit more ammunition to keep fighting in his memory as well.
How old a guy was he?
I believe he was a 45, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Listen, we're almost out of time, but I would be remiss if I did not ask you about your recent demand of the governor of New York.
That is absolutely correct. The Warehouse Workers Protection Act recently passed legislation, and it is designed to reduce injuries, in part by reducing the expectations and the quota within the warehouse. So we are demanding that the governor sign that bill immediately so that we can get that additional protection.
Heather Goodall, campaign manager for the Amazon Labor Union at the Skodak New York warehouse. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope we'll have you back next week for another update. And this has been Kathy Silber for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.